Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So by a show of hands, and if you're online, please indicate through the chat your hand being raised. If you have ever been square dancing before, has anyone been? Okay, so we have quite a few people who have been square dancing. How many of you enjoyed square dancing? Okay, I think most of them went back up. That's good. Who would like to demonstrate square dancing for the church this morning? Okay, I was wondering what could get all the hands down, and I thought that would be it, but the invitation's out there if you'd like to. But for those who have been square dancing, you know how much fun it is. Even if you just want to be a wallflower and sit on the sidelines and watch, it really is a fun time. First off, you have the music. The music is high energy. And don't forget the fiddle player. If you have a good fiddle player, it's just soaring above everything else, just flying above you. And then above that, you hear the noise of someone that has the title caller. And that caller lets everyone know what dance they are on, where you're supposed to be at. And so you might hear them say, promenade, or circle up, or shoot the moon. And then people know what to do after that. Now, the dancers, they are to listen intently to what the caller is saying. They also have many different roles that they're listening for. See, most square dances include four couples, and that makes up what they call a set. Each couple is given a number. You have couple one and two, three, and four. Couples one and three represent the head couples, while couples two and four constitute the side couples. Now, the caller can organize dances with the entire set, with partners, or by calling out who the head couple is or the side couple. And so they can say, swing your partner round and round, or they can say, everyone circle to the left. It allows for there to be more mix and matching, which really is the fun part of square dancing. Now, if you want to take it one step further, each individual person also has a corner, which is the adjacent dancer, which is traditionally that of the same gender, but you also have an opposite, the person on the other side. And with a creative caller, you will have the opportunity to dance with each person or in different specialized groups throughout the night. Square dancing is about moving together, being both the spotlight and also blending in. And people who square dance are typically not concerned about being perfect or getting it right, but it's about sharing space with others, both those you know and complete strangers. Square dancing is about community coming together. Now, if you have ever been to a jazz club or watched a jam band, it is a similar experience, although it's done through music. In jazz, players relate to one another through their instruments. You have your rhythm section and your melody section, but good jazz musicians don't always stay within the lines. Like square dancers, they have the ability to mix and match endlessly, which creates space for really exciting music. The bass drum of the drum set might match the bass guitar, or they might be complete opposites, one on the downbeat and the other on the upbeat. At one moment, the saxophone and trumpet may have the melody together, and the next moment, they're arguing back and forth with each other. Sometimes the entire band is playing, and other moments there's just one person playing. But musicians move together. They listen to one another and are influenced by what the others are doing, and they create some spontaneous and really emotional music. And so if square dancing is fellowship and community, jazz is about flow, interconnectedness, relationality. Creating music is really about listening and relating to other musicians. The Trinity, today is Trinity Sunday, is a difficult doctrine to teach or even to understand. And I suppose it is because it blurs the lines. It does not let you hold on to one reality of God. Because once you say, I got it, it changes the tempo. God is the Father. Really? Always? Okay. God is the Son. Really? I thought he was also the Father. And then we throw in the Holy Spirit and game over. We don't know where to begin. And so we claim to be a monotheistic religion with believing in one God. We say, sure, one God that we name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is not difficult math to do. I'm pretty sure any first grader answering the question 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1 will probably get that wrong unless their teacher is deeply Trinitarian. But what if we let go of our need to get God right? What if we let go and open ourselves to the multitude of ways God shows up in the world? What if instead of trying to understand God as one being, dictating good and bad, we came to know God differently, as true and genuine relationship itself, a force moving to the beat of love and justice? What if the mystery of God is always changing its relationship and the way the divine three show up in our lives? Each resembling a little bit of the other, but yet unique and divided. They play the same song, but stand out and fade away. And from our vantage point, we experience one band, one room filled with square dancers, one God, the three together, creating and building a better world. If we look at Trinity in this way, we can see how it shows up throughout Scripture. But however, a couple years ago, I did make the mistake with my confirmation class by saying anyone who finds the word Trinity in Scripture will get dessert next week. And I did not prepare to experience the backlash because the word Trinity does not show up in Scripture. And so when I told them that, it was really only the brownies that saved me from a complete uprising. But nowhere in the Bible does Trinity show up. It's not until the third century, where the writings of Tertullian reveal and unravel this truth about the Trinity, about this intra-divine relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even in that, he's not so much concerned about getting the names right, but the ways in which the members of the Trinity move or relate with the world. For instance, in our passage that was just read from 2 Corinthians, Paul is wrapping up his letter to a very deeply divided church in Corinth. The letter makes it clear that people are not getting along and that members are breaking away from that church. In his benediction, Paul, who really is a theological genius in many ways, sends them forth with this reminder that they are surrounded by God as community, the three in one. He says, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, and through the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you. For Paul, it's not simply Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it is how the divine three move in their lives. It is the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And when you put the three together, you are surrounded by the divine community, where you are affirmed and loved by the one we call God. Now, if we leave Trinity here, it's nice. It's something to think about. It's something kind of transcendent. We have God in this relationship with itself, but it doesn't really include us. Until we are reminded that we are made in God's image. That like God, we too are made for relationship. A genuine relationship, one that is love. We were meant to be community and relate with one another, to swing our partner round and round, or as Jesus put it, to treat others like we would like to be treated, to listen to the bass player and to give them a solo, or as the prophets reminded us, to listen to the voices of the marginalized and to let their voices be heard and brought forth. We not only experience the Trinity, but the three invite us to join them, to promenade and to shoot the moon. They invite us to grab our trombone and join the band. Now you can be a wallflower, like I mentioned earlier. You can watch everything take place. And I really think God honors that decision. But if we're looking for purpose, for fellowship, for meaning, we have to dance. We have to dance. All about community and relationship, which is who God is. And so whenever we practice either, we know we are dancing with God. The Trinity reminds us of our duty to live in relationship, not only with God, but with all those around us. And so may you find joy in dancing with the Trinity. May you live each day seeking to live with others. But always remind yourself that you go with the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace, with the love of your divine parents and the communion of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.